The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you for privileges that we have and we enjoy in you. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for light. And this evening, Father, we ask that as the word comes, it changes our hearts. It imparts us in the name of Jesus. Let's do one song, Fire Preaching. This one that says, Holy Words Long Preserved. Song. Let's all join this song. Let's all sing it. Let me hear everybody sing it. Thank you. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Our heart is simple this moment as we are greedy to be blessed by you and to be impacted by the revelation that comes from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, be seated. Hallelujah. So continue today on the raging warfare. Hallelujah. The raging warfare. The raging warfare. The battle for your mind. You know, and as a way of laying foundation, one of the things I said last week, which is what you must not forget, is that a lot of things per time are struggling to take hold of your mind. Many things are struggling to seize your mind and to make you think in a particular way. And the reason this is happening is because Proverbs 4:23 will tell us that out of our hearts will flow the issues of life. Look at it. Proverbs 4:23. He said, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, in case you don't understand that, the New Living Translation will say, we should keep our heart with all diligence, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And so the state of your heart will determine the course of your life. I always say this, everybody needs this teaching, even if you are not born again. Because the principle in this verse does not respond to believers alone. The state of your heart will determine the course of your life. Whether you are born again or not, an atheist or a Hindu, what your heart, what your mind is full of is the direction your life for traveling. And I challenged you last week. Were you blessed by this teaching last week? I challenged you last week to say you must gain control of your mind. One of the very important things we said last week, which I don't want you to forget, is that 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. Is it 14? 13 or 14? Sorry, verse 7 rather. 1 Timothy 1 verse 7. Paul tells Timothy that God has not given us. Is it, sorry, 2 Timothy rather. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. It says God has not given us, you see, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now we're looking at that word sound mind last week. I told you the Greek word sophronismos. Remember that? It means the ability to take charge of your mind. In fact, the way some translations render it, it will mean self-control, ability to take charge and to mount guide. In fact, how it appears in the Greek is discipline of the mind. So it says God has not given us anything, but has given us the power of the spirit, sound mind. And the way NLT called it self-discipline. Self-discipline. NIV self-discipline and self-discipline. It tells you that we have the power to discipline our mind. Hallelujah. And so you find out that the state of your mind is supposed to be your responsibility. Are you here? Come on, are you here? You're not radio. Are you here? The state of your mind is supposed to be your responsibility. But sadly, like we saw last week, for many of us, it's not true. For many of us, we are not responsible for the things that are going on in our head. And I asked a question last week. I said, who is thinking in your head? Remember that? Who is doing your thinking for you? Because you realize, like we saw last week, that every thought that comes to you are not your thoughts. And I say thoughts come from different places. Thoughts come from God. This happens to you most times. I will explain this further next week. But this happens to you sometimes in the place of prayer. Have you noticed that when you pray, thoughts are flying to your head? I'm not just talking about when you're getting distracted in prayer. I mean, when you're done praying, you find out there are things that begin to drop as suggestions. Does it happen to you? Ideas. Those are thoughts from God. Hello? I'm trying to tell you is that whatever goes on in your mind is your choice. That same way, Satan throws thoughts at you. So there are thoughts that are in your mind that sometimes you think that are not really your thoughts per se. That same way, what we call the flesh or what we call our environment, they are also responsible for some things that go on in your head. So sometimes only a little percentage of what you think are actually your thoughts. Are you getting me? And even those things you call your thoughts, self, are still influenced by everything I mentioned. Are you here this evening? And so there are things. So the question is, who is thinking in your head? I really can't hear myself. Can this be better? I'm struggling to even hear what I'm saying. Can you hear me? Then you are cheating me because I'm not even hearing the message. Hallelujah. And so you find out these thoughts come from different places. From different places. And we have the power to mount guard over our mind. This is getting worse. So I said, it is your duty to guard your mind. And one of the things I said last week, I don't want you to forget, is that even God will not guard your mind for you. I say it again. Even God will not guard your mind for you. God will not do that. God will not do that. That's why the Bible will teach that we guard our heart, because it's not what God will do for you. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you find out that he leaves the job of renewing your mind to you. Are you here this evening? So it is the duty of the believer to renew his mind. So God will not do that for you. God will take hold of your mind and say, well, since you are my son, okay, this is better. He wouldn't say, since you are my son, I am going to just be deciding what you think. What he can do is to throw thoughts. Let me use that word. Let me be free with that word. He can throw thoughts at you. Okay? Now, whether those thoughts remain, whether you think them or not, whether you let them in or not, is strictly your choice and your making. For most people, we let the wrong things in. Are you see here? You read, so we can discern and control the sources of our thoughts. I closed last week by challenging you not to be careless with your thoughts. Not to be careless with your thoughts. Don't be careless with your mind. Mount guard over your mind. Determine what will stay. Are you still here? Determine what will remain in your mind. determine what you do. One of the things we're going to look at, maybe not today, is it today? Okay, might look at it today. But let me just show you. In Philippians 12 verse 8, it says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are this, that. It says, think on these things. What does that tell you? You are responsible for what you are going to think on. Are you getting the point? You might not be responsible for the thoughts that fly into your mind. You might not be. But you are responsible for what stays. Of course, you should come to a point where you now start becoming responsible for what flies in. But for most times, you are not responsible for what flies into your mind. I told you there are the gates to your mind are your five senses. You remember that? You might not be responsible for what you see at all times. Even though you should come to a point, I'll look at that next week, where you start being responsible for what you see. Okay? Where you begin to control at least 50% of what you see and what you hear. But for the most times, you're not responsible for them. So, what you should actually be responsible for is what stays back in your mind. So, the Bible said, whatsoever things are this, that, he said, think on these things. So, it is your duty to determine what to think about, what to put your mind on. And I want to start from where I stopped last week. I said, what is thinking in your head? Hallelujah. What is thing you are thinking for you? The thoughts you are thinking, or the thoughts in your head, are they really your thoughts? I say there are four places these thoughts can come from. It can come from you. It can come from Satan. It can come from the devil. It can come from your environment, or what you might refer to as the flesh. You don't mean the flesh. I'm not talking about your flesh, as it were. But talking about the system of the world. Hallelujah. These things can send thoughts or throw thoughts at you at every time. I want to help you do something. One of the things that you need to do, I said that this last week, is when you begin to become conscious of and take note of where your thoughts are coming from. Hello? Let me say it again. You should come to a point where you begin to take note of this thing. Where are these thoughts coming from? Is this my thought? Or something? Is this my thought? Is it the devil thinking in my head now? Is it God sending these thoughts? Is it Satan? Is it my environment? What actually is doing my thinking for me? I see. Yeah? If you can begin to master this as a believer, you will now begin to know what to live out, what to focus on, and what to expel from your heart. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 gives us a lead into this. Hebrews 4 verse 12. It said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I like maybe NLT and Amplified. Let's look at this. Okay. The last part of it says, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So the word of God, put up Amplified, it says, it exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. And so, one major way you can determine who is doing your thinking in your head is by the word of God. If you judge your thoughts by the word of God, you will be able to clearly discern this thought in my head now, who has it. And that's what I'm going to help you do this evening. Are you here? This thought's in my head now, or this thought's going on in my head now, who has it? For most times, we are thinking thoughts of Satan. And I told you something last week. When Satan or your environment sends thoughts into your heart, he does not send it like in the second person pronoun. Remember I said that last week? He says it in the first person pronoun. So you say things like, I just think. Most times, it's not you thinking. The only way you will be able to know who is thinking in my head at this moment is by exposing those thoughts to the word of God. And what do I mean by that? By checking what the word is, what the word says, you can know who is doing your thinking. I give an example. For instance, 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's look at verse 7. Or sorry, 2nd rather. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Let's look at it very closely today. Because I'm going to focus on two major places our thoughts come from. I'm going to talk about Satan. I'm going to talk about your environment. Are you here? Satan's environment. He says, for God has not given us what? Come on, talk back to me. Giving us what? The spirit of fear. The word of God says, you do not have spirit of fear.
Now, this is enough to know that whenever you sense fear in your heart, thoughts of fear will not come from God. Why? Because the Bible said God has not given the spirit of fear. Are you following me? And so whenever you begin to sense fear in your heart, it's not of God. It's not of God. It doesn't matter what, how genuine the fear is. I'll still touch some other things, but let me say a little about fear today. When you begin to sense those fears, it's not of God. Let me say this, fear is simply of the flesh, trying to assess your mind. Fear comes from two major places. Satan sends fears into your heart. Your environment does the same thing. Both of them are not of God. The Bible said, let me say this to you, God has not, now, when the Bible says God has not given us something, what does it mean? It means we don't have it. Okay? And so, let me say this. It means, but you feel afraid, but the Bible says God has not. So that means not everything I feel is correct. Are you seeing? The Bible said God has not, and I go with the word of God. Hallelujah. Same thing. I don't have the spirit of fear. So it says God has not. So by exposing your thoughts, for instance, to the word of God, so when a thought comes into your mind, to know where it is coming from is to check what the word said. I'm using fear as an example now. God has not given us spirit of fear. You know, one thing is about fear is it always wants to assess your mind at every time. Look at Romans 8:15. Let me look at this. Romans 8:15. If we finish on time today, we'll have time to pray. Romans 8:15. He said, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. He said, first, God did not give it to us in 2 Timothy. Romans said, we have not received it. And clearly, what God has not given, we don't have. Hallelujah. So I have not received the spirit of fear. He said, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry our Father. You see, I said this in our last congregate meeting. One of the greatest sources of audacity or boldness is first of towards life is boldness towards God. The fact that we can stand before God without fear and call Him Father. If I can stand before the maker of the whole universe, I can stand before anything. Are you following me at all? So even towards God, we have not received the spirit of fear, bondage to fear. Even towards God. And so, fear is not part of what we have in Christ. What it means is that your reborn spirit has never been afraid and can never be afraid. Okay, let me say it. You didn't get it. I'm saying you have never been afraid in your life since you got born again. Since it's not true. You know, one thing I've kept telling you in this church is this. You're a human being, right? You are what? You're not a human feeling. Right? So, you are not your feeling. The real you is the you in Christ. Is that very correct? The real you is your spirit man in Christ. And the Bible says of that spirit, it does not have the spirit of fear. So what it means is that the real you has never been afraid, can never be afraid, will never be afraid. And so whenever you sense fear, automatically you know it is not God sending these things. So thoughts of fear can arise in your heart. This already begins to help you discern. Well, a lot of persons are living their life perpetually in fear. Fear. You know what I said last week? I said, not everything you feel is real. Don't mistake your feelings for who you truly are. I said again, don't mistake your feelings for who you truly are. I'm so scared. It's the devil talking in there. I'm just so scared. Some persons are scared of what they don't even know. I'm talking to you by the Spirit. Has ever happened to you? You are afraid. Why you are afraid? I just don't know. I'm just so scared. And fear is a messenger of death. Fear. You know, there is this story. I've heard it a couple of times. I was listening to my spiritual father recently, and he told the story again. And he made me laugh. It's a parable. It didn't happen. Just all these stories. One day,
death wanted to come into a particular community. Okay? And what he just did was, he, okay, no, not death. Yes, death wanted to come into a community. I think I'm going to say it correctly now. The community. And then what he did was to send fear. Fear came into the community and told the people that a lion is going to enter this community and devour everybody. You know, when they heard that, all of them ran into the forest to meet the lion. Did you get the gist? Did you get it? The fear came and said, a lion is going to enter this community tomorrow to devour everybody. That tomorrow, there was no lion planning to enter. They ran into the forest and went to meet the real lion. So, what actually killed them was not really death. It was fear. That time you plan to travel and suddenly you become afraid. Listen to me. God cannot say, well, that fear is a sign that God is leading me. God also leads us with fear. It's not. That fear is Satan is knocking on your door. He wants to do something. And he knows the only way he can do that in is to invade your mind. So he sends the fear. Once you accept the fear and begin to fear the fear, he does what he wants to do. That, you know, Job said in the book of Job, he said, what I feared most has come upon me. So I can tell you very simply, when Satan was told to go tempt Job, how did he know what he was going to pick that was going to get to Job? It was very easy. Look at his fears. Are you following me this morning or this evening? And so it was Job's fears that Satan exploited. What was Job's fear? What if I lose my whole family? How do you know that? In Job chapter 1, the Bible tells us every day, Job will make sacrifices for children. Every day. Some of the prayers we even pray are prayers of fear. Born out of fears. You only tell you pray. All prayer is a beautiful thing to do. But make sure fear has not conquered your heart. You know, Satan will always send fears. Environment does that. You know, some people don't get, you know, let me say this to you. You know, before the anointing, I just mentioned anointing, I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. Now, before the anointing, headache and cancer are the same thing. Do you know that? For the anointing of the Holy Ghost, headache and HIV are the same thing. The reason you have cancer, and it will take a whole lot to heal you, is because there are some unnecessary information you already have about cancer that's put fear in your heart, and you've exalted cancer above every other name. And so when the man of God just walks up to you and lays and say, you are healed in Jesus' name, say, this guy doesn't know what is wrong with me. It's cancer we're talking about here. What is happening is fear of the cancer is what is still keeping you down on your sick bed. That same guy, I'm not telling this story. People think it's a lie, but these things happen. A medical practitioner, two people, I've heard this report, two people came to his office to run tests. So they came separately, they didn't come the same, they just came separately. And the two of them, their test results were different. The first person, the test result was, you are perfectly okay, nothing's wrong with you. The other person, your test result is, you are sick, you're going to die in like 1 month's time. When he was to issue the results, he mistakenly exchanged the results. I didn't get the point. Took the one for this one and gave this guy, collected the one for this one and gave this guy. You know the rest of the story. The guy was supposed to leave, but already had the fake result of, you're going to die. Eventually became sick and died even before the 1 month. The other one survived and was strong. The answer is simple. When Satan, if Satan cannot invade, that's why when I'm talking about marching God over your mind, I'll still come to this shortly. There are information that I call forbidden knowledge. Sometimes you don't need to know them. The reason sometimes I don't work your life, you know too much of the things you're not supposed to know. You know too much. You know, that's why sometimes if you're a medical person here and you want to flow in the power of God for healing and you want to always experience the healing power of God, you better leave what you know in medicine and don't let it gain entrance into your mind. If it does, you can never receive your healing.
Because you know the whole process of the sickness. I think you get the point. You know that when you feel this pain, it means it's eating up your liver. That kind of, you know. And then your fears rise. Fear is a messenger of death. Sometimes you are scared of a lot of things. You are scared of failing. You're scared of failing. You are scared of life. Sometimes there is what we call fear of the unknown. You don't even know what you're afraid of. You're just afraid. Satan is knocking. Now, whenever you sense that fear, this is not God. So the mistake many of us make is we accept the thought and begin to fear the fear. We now stay there and then we're just going over it to your mind. But there is sense in what he's saying. There is sense in what I'm thinking. There is sense. That is sense. This is what I was saying last week. That's why you find out in a particular season, a lot of people begin to die or begin to suffer because they're afraid. For instance, this Ember Month now. Part of the reason you're going to hear a lot of accidents happening all over the place, apart from people's recklessness and what have you, is that a lot of people are so scared of the accident already. And so before they travel, initially before they travel, they just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to our journey to your end. Give us salvation, amen. Hallelujah. But this time before they travel, they go on a fast. They pour oil. Now, I'm not saying what they're doing is wrong. I'm saying your heart has been conquered already by fear. I didn't get a point. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so that automatically tells that when you sense fear, since God did not give fear, it means thoughts of fear are not really your thoughts. It's the devil thinking in your head. I was ministering just on a conference and I said something and somebody met me about that. That's why I remembered it. And I was talking and I said by the Spirit that there was someone, that a young girl actually who was not married, but she was already scared of childbirth. And whether she was going to be able to give birth. I don't remember when I said this. I remember I said it. And she later met me and said, like, sir, you are just talking about me. What happened? Plenty things. Because she felt this way and felt that way and felt this way. She was not married. She will not be married this year. She will not be married next year. Not even next 2 years, possibly. Like, she's a small girl. But she's already so scared that she might not have children. Or that she might have complications. Because this have happened, and that has happened. And if you put that, and then you check Google, that's it. I have someone that has tiny head and running stomach. Say, that's cancer. And you know, Google is an interesting place. What you don't realize is that that thing you check in Google, you know, it's different people's thoughts and ideas. Hope you know. It's not like it's correct. They just source different information and just give you. Hallelujah. And they tell you, if you are feeling this way, it means this. How many of you before this corona period used to have once in a while shortness of breath? Let me see your hand. And a couple of persons do. And then corona now came. You now had shortness of breath. And then you just knew you have got it. Somehow you knew you have got it. Most times you didn't catch anything. If you don't expel that fear from your heart, you're going to definitely catch it. Because somehow I see fear as Satan seeking permission to do what he wants to do. When you're afraid of something that has not done it, he's seeking permission. I get the point. He's seeking permission. I want to kill someone here. So I'm going to send the fear of death. And thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to say this by the Spirit. One of the ways Satan will send that fear, because some of you are beginning to miss this, is through your dreams. Many of us guard our minds so much that Satan has no place to enter. He will come to your dreams. That's why, just like I'm asking, who is thinking in your head? You have to ask yourself, who is responsible for the dreams I'm seeing? I've taught you this, right? That every dream is not your dream. Some of them is not even from God. Satan sends dreams to you. And it cannot invade your mind, for instance, to think thoughts of death over your family. He now brings a dream to you where everybody, your family, died. Now you come and say, God forbid, God forbid. You know, he has not done it. He is seeking permission. He says, sir, but I saw that dream. I prayed, but it happened. Well, not possibly. The reason you prayed is because you believed it. Don't you think so? Maybe. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. But you know, there are some kind of prayers we pray, we already defeated in our hearts. How many of you pray when you see a bad dream where they shot your mom dead? You pray for 1 hour, right? You will, right? Won't you? You will. Now, if you see a dream where your mom won a lottery of 10 million naira, would you pray for 1 hour? You possibly pray and say, amen, no, let it happen. You find out you really don't believe that dream. You are spending time with the other one dealing with issues because you believe it's possibly going to happen. The question is, Satan keeps sending these thoughts in your head. Are you going to think them? Are you going to accept them? Paul said, whatsoever things are this, that, and that, is a thing on distance. So what I'm trying to show you this evening is, one of the easiest way to check who is thinking in my head part time is to check the word of God. That's the simple thing. We just saw one without fear. I'll give another example. We don't have worry. Worry is not what we have in Christ. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said we shouldn't worry. Matthew 6 from verse 25. If I like the way NLT King James rather put it. King James says, take no thoughts for your life. So it means you can take thoughts. Hallelujah. I like reading it. That's not the right thing. I'm like reading it literally like Matthew 6:25. I like reading it literally like thoughts is something tangible. They said, take no thoughts. So imagine this thought. He's saying, don't take it. So you can actually take thoughts. He said, take no thoughts for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink or what or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Next verse. He says, behold the fowls of the air. Began to say, talk about the fowls of the air. The next verse. I mentioned this when I was talking about contentment. Remember? Contentment. He said, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit? So when Jesus said, do not take thought for your life, Jesus is saying, do not live in worry. It means worry is not of God too, right? So every time you sense worry in your heart, who is thinking in your head? Say that. It doesn't matter how genuine that worry is. Satan is thinking in your head. And Jesus was giving a very powerful logic here. He said, can your worry change anything? Can it change? If it can't change anything, why are you doing it? So God will not send worry to you. God will not send fear to you. And your reborn spirit, the real you, will not pick up fear, will not pick up worry. So whenever you sense worry, whenever you sense fear, those thoughts rising in your heart, it doesn't matter how genuine they are. You know, one of the things, I was talking to someone recently. I said, sometimes we pray and we don't see our answers to prayer. I didn't understand this initially as a believer. We pray, we don't see our answers because Satan has a way of, have you noticed that sometimes when you pray and you're expecting something and that thing is very close, something happens that destabilizes your mind, that gets you worried or gets you scared or gets you complaining or gets you bitter. I get the point. Satan is trying to shift you from whatever is coming to you. He can't stop that stuff. God has given the answer. Instead of your mind is there to receive. You remember that? So whenever you're very close to something, he throws thoughts of worry. If you can't throw it, it will cause something to happen. I'll see you that surely. And then worry is there, fears are there. It is never God's thought. It's never God's thought. You know, sometimes you see a believer, I've seen believers quit in ministry because Satan sent one single fear into their heart, fear of lack. What if at the end of all this, you become broke and you don't make it? And then they stay there, and at a time they will not even agree they are afraid. They will tell you, I'm not afraid, I'm just being real. I'm just analyzing things. You are afraid. You are scared. And what people don't realize is, I'm not cursing you. But you see, most people that have left ministry to go and make one don't make the money. I know, you know, let me say this. It's not because God is going to say, well, you left me, you want to make money. No. I said something. When you want to go to Port Harcourt, and then you see an accident happen along Port Harcourt Express Road, and then you become very scared. And you now decide you're not going to travel to Port Harcourt again because you are scared. You see, at that point, your home becomes dangerous. Do you get the point? It's, you know, there's nothing special about that road. You get the point? Now, what Satan was looking for, I want to cause havoc in your life. So I'm going to introduce fear. You now respond to the fear, and now sit down with your ass. I'm not going anywhere. I don't know what is going to happen to me. Let me just be here before I go out and kill myself. You just sit down in that house. Something will just happen. Something will just happen. Because that's the thing about fear. So you say, I'm not going to do ministry again because I'm scared. The problem is not ministry. The problem is the fear of lack in your heart. And so whether you do ministry or not, since that fear of lack and poverty has dominated you, you might still be poor. You know, this is not even script. Some of these are not things you need Bible to know. You know, as a man thinketh, is that so he is. You see, people that think small, they remain small. You know, this is true. People that think big, they remain big. That same principle Satan is applying here. Are you getting the point? And I see fear of lack, fear of life, worry. Some persons, you are scared, you get worried. But Jesus said, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And so worry would be a thought on the devil. Okay, let's just complete this passage to verse 31, verse 28. He said, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29. And yet I saw to you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe thee, O ye of little faith? Now verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? God expects that. So it means, let me just finish with it. It means, okay, let's use take as take, collecting something, right? It means a thought can be given to you. You can decide to take it or not. Are you here? Thoughts of worry can be given. That's what I said last week. I'm going to emphasize this next week. You cannot stop a bird sometimes from flying over your head. You cannot stop these thoughts from coming, but you can decide not to take them. And so you analyze your thoughts by the word of God. So worry is not of God. Some of the things that are not of God, for instance, is depression. How many of you know depression is not of God? Depression is of the devil. Depression is demonic. Depression steals your peace. Oh, the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so what we have in the kingdom is peace and joy. So anything that is not peace and is not joy, we don't have it in Christ. And depression is not peaceful. Depression is actually the opposite of peace and joy. So depression, when you very begin to sense, I feel depressed. That's even a lie. You can't be depressed. It's just something Satan is throwing at you. You can accept it or not. Do you know that I found out that majority of suicide cases, they don't really have problem. Let me say it again. Most people that commit suicide don't have problem. I have rarely seen people commit suicide for poverty. It happens, but it's very rare. And one of the ways Satan makes you look at her back, coach, depression is wicked. What he does is he exalts your problem in your eye. Now, when I was teaching, I was talking about contentment, and I mentioned this. He exalts your problem before you, and you just feel this my issue is the highest. What you don't realize that most times you're enjoying life. People have seen worse things. When I'm talking by the Spirit and somebody is trying to justify what is passing through, this is because I don't say everything. Say everything. You know, the day we pass the mic here and we allow everybody to start sharing their problem, You will start thanking God. I know because I'm the pastor. I listen to everybody's problem. Sometimes I hear something, I say, now, wow, people, they suffer for this life. I hear things. And sometimes those people are alive doing things. It is people that are struck, that have small, I'm calling it small because actually small. I said, I will now shut your mind off from every other thing God has done for you and then keep you depressed. Now, he suggests depression. He will not do it. He won't do it for you. So he will suggest depression and then you take it and sit on your bed. You're going about how miserable your life has been from day one. And then he connects all your life for you. I'm telling your story. He connects all your life from when you left school to when you just came out to when this happened. Just look at your miserable life. Who is thinking in your head? Whenever he says it, it can never be God. Because God can never tell you to go and die. God can never say, go and die. No. He said, I've come that I may have life. Hallelujah. So that thought in your head to commit suicide can never be of God. It doesn't matter how long you just fight. It can never be of God. It can never be of God. You know, if you realize that most people that commit suicide is not doing the right thing, but nobody commits suicide at the first attempt. Most people that have committed suicide have attempted it more than once or twice or three times. See, Satan that keeps sending the thoughts, he keeps piling up. He keeps thinking. Then I start writing poem. Write a side note. See, life is a mystery. Life is not any mystery. Life is good. As a life is a mystery. In times, your deepest times, your darkest moments, nobody to look up to, no flash of light from anywhere. But right, you see light at the end of the tunnel. And that is easy, you are just blabbing. Satan is giving you things to do, and you are giving attention. So before when they died, one died the other time, you open their locker, you see more than 30 suicide notes written over 2 years. So Satan has been putting that stuff there for like 2 years, and they've been thinking demonic thoughts. Most people think demons are, say somebody's been oppressed by a demon. The only thing coming to your mind is someone that is mad or someone that is misbehaving. You see, this is demonic oppression. It's thinking in your head, oppressing you, stealing your joy with depression. And then you are down, thinking, my life is a mess. Now, this is an example. Now, I'm not saying my life is a mess. You get the point? My life can't even be a mess. Hallelujah. But he keeps sending. And let me say this to you. Maybe I'll emphasize this more next week. Forget that I'm preaching this. This thought, that's one thing you don't realize, is thrown at everybody, including the pastor. If you've never felt this way, let me show you. And everybody has that one time or the other. The only difference is that some persons accepted their own, some persons repelled theirs immediately came. Such thoughts cannot stem. It has happened to me only once. That guy was so damn many years ago. So I'm going to quit ministry. I'm not doing again. God even hates me. And after that day, I knew if you let the devil, he will never stop. You know why I said that? If you let the devil, he will never stop. When he's done showing you how miserable your academics is, he goes to your finance. When he's done to your finance, even the good things that are there in your life, he will show you how terrible they are. Get the point? You now see people saying, even though I have money now, but it's not about money. I have money, I don't have friends. Another person is committing suicide for having friends, but not having money. And you see, the cycle just goes on. Hallelujah. And someone is saying, who friend help? Give me money. Keep your friend. All that. And people just find depression is a demonic thought. Whatever you are sensing it in your heart now, it is not God. God has not called us to be depressed. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is joy. Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy. So we have joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but we have joy in the Holy Ghost. So thoughts of depression are not your thoughts. Neither are they God's thoughts. Of course, I'm talking about your thoughts. I'm talking about God's thoughts. Why? Because when you became born again, your spirit became one with the Spirit of God. So your thoughts are God's thoughts. So whenever you sense you receive any thought contrary to the word of God, You should know at this point, it's Satan talking in my head. It's Satan thinking for me. It's Satan saying things and dropping stuff in your head. There is depression. I can't go on. There is rejection. Thoughts of rejection. There's a teaching I did some years ago, what I called managing negative emotions. Some of you remember that teaching? Helped a lot of people there. Rejection. Just feel everybody has left me. And it's not even true. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1 verse 6 that we are accepted in the beloved. And so you are accepted. God has accepted you. And so because God says you are accepted, it means you're really accepted. So when you feel rejected, it is obviously not God's thought. Something else is thinking in your head. Satan is thinking in your head. So what led me to all of this? How to discern per time who has whatever thought is in my mind is by checking the word of God. Did the Bible say I have this? If the Bible didn't say I have this, then I don't have it. Fear always comes. It comes to everybody. Worry always comes. If you let the devil, he will never stop. Satan has kept me awake. That I was telling you this thing. From 9:10 in the night till 3:04 in the morning, thinking about how miserable my life is. Has that happened to you before? I'm telling you, when I got to myself, thinking about how miserable, why was I feeling miserable? You want to know? I wrote a book, a Christian book, and then I had already paid half of the money to publish it. And then the date I planned to release it was coming, I didn't have the money. I'd made all the plans and all that, and I didn't get it. And Satan said, see your life? Now, at that point, I didn't know it was Satan. I felt I was just thinking. Everybody should be out. No, I was just talking. Satan, if you let him, and from that book, what happened? You could not publish a book. Simple thing. He connected every dot in my life. Every dot from my ministry to my life, to my family, to my future, to my past, connected all the dots and proved that you're stupid. I'm telling you. And it took a lot. It was around 4 in the morning. How I came to myself is a story for another. Maybe next week I'll tell you. Around 4 in the morning. I was already messed up. You know, if you let the devil, I keep saying, he will never stop. This is related to everything, both in prayer and in your heart. Like in prayer, if you let the devil take over your finance, you think he will stop there. He will go to your marriage. When he's done with your marriage, he won't stop. He will go to your academics. He will never stop. That same way, you let him introduce fear in your heart, worry will follow, depression will follow, everything. He will never stop. He will keep suppressing. So some people are oppressed by the devil, and that oppression is in their mind. That's why for majority of persons, what they need is not deliverance. They need mental programming. They need to be reprogrammed by the word of God. It's not deliverance. It's a deliverance. And you see the devil, he continues like that. I'm foolish, I'm useless, I'm foolish, I'm useless. Then the person gets into alcohol and begins to drink and drink and drink and begins to smoke and smoke and smoke to forget his worries, to forget his sorrows. Satan is winning. Maybe the end point what Satan wanted was to make this guy mad. He continues, for you know, he takes Igbo and Igbo now knock him. I know, you know, we used to talk to people, you know, right? You've not heard it before? Talking to you like I'm talking. The widow just say, hope you know that all these people in this place cannot win you. Say happy. No, one guy in our school, all of this hide. Then those days in Abuja, came out his mouth shouting, I need blood. I said, when I give him blood, now make you drink. I'm not looking for carry up and down. He said he needs blood. I'm looking for. And why would what would subject with that kind of thing? You know, this I mentioned rejection now. Do you know why some people drink today and smoke? It's because they feel they don't belong. It's a feeling of rejection. So they feel it's by smoking or joining cult or whatever that will make them belong. I didn't get the point. A guy came to me, I got him saved in our first year. And he used to be a very terrible drinker and all that. And even though he told me, I was wrong with alcohol, but I had to tell him to stop. He had to stop that nonsense. Because he would go drink heavily and all that. Then One of those days, I was thinking, touch this, maybe I'm closing today. One of those days, there was a party going on in our whatever. And he was like, he wants to attend. I said, a birthday party. I said, don't go. He said, what's wrong with a birthday party? You know, sometimes it's not about what is wrong. It's about your mind. Did you get the point? I said, don't go. He said, no. If you don't, I said, okay, fine, go. He said, trust me, I'm not going to drink. No, drink, no, not me. He said, he got there that day. Because I let her enter this room. After the whole thing, I met him. He had vomited everywhere. He was drunk. He was dead drunk. What happened? He got to the party and then he requested for malt. And they're like, now, wow. He didn't drink malt. And it's even a manifestation of inferiority complex for you to insult me because I'm not doing what you are doing. Are you getting the point? I'm not inferior to you because I'm not doing what you are doing. Who says yours is the right thing? Because our inferiority is still a thought of Satan, making you feel like you are lower than you really are. And many people like that doing. Some people, this is what informs their dressing. They are dressing in a particular way because if you don't dress that way, you don't belong. Who says your way is the belonging? Anyway, tell the guy, how can you be drinking malt? Now why you did drink malt? You know, get ahead. He was not telling them, and one was not like, no, it's not true. I can drink, just I've stopped. Said, forget that thing. No, we drink anything. And one girl now opened Star Reward and I drank it. I said, me say by the shark. And I said, I'll show you. And that was the guy. It's like going down. He said, let me say this to you. I don't know why this is coming. Sometimes as a believer, you have to be bold of your stand and don't feel inferior or intimidated about being who you are. I didn't get the point. Why don't you drink alcohol today? Say, now you don't feel drink. I say, well, I don't want to know how to drink. I have no apologies for being who I am. I have no apologies for being. I don't even owe you any explanation. You are the one that have problem, not me. I'm in charge of my mind. I'm in charge of my emotions. You're the one that has a problem. So feeling of rejection. I've heard people. So he wanted to belong. He went drank away his life. They brought him back to his room. He threw up, scattered everywhere. Those thoughts of rejection, inferiority, depression, fear, worry, they are not your thoughts. Somebody is initiating those things. You are feeling that way now, and it's almost who you are. And I'm speaking by the Spirit. Some of you, it is even thoughts of bitterness. You are so bitter. But you know bitterness is not your thing. The Bible tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So you a love person. And so bitterness is one of those things that suggests for you. You now stay there. It's so hot. Have you realized that what makes people bitter and keeps them hot for 6 months, 8 months? Satan is a liar. You know, one of the things Satan does to keep you down if you are hot in here is to make you feel that thing you are hurting about is the highest thing that has happened to anybody in this world. You know, I said it's like you will not understand. We understand. We have seen worse. So I'm just ready to move on. Are you still following me this evening? You are hurting. You are bitter. You don't understand. You don't understand. Nobody understands me. Nobody should. And let me say this to you. Sometimes when you are trying to help people move on, when they are hurting, stop trying to play the I understand game for them. Because you think in doing that you are being a good friend. You are giving them something. At first you can say, I understand where you want to hear them and then understand, flow with them. I understand. But then when the thing begins to stay, you see, you are around me, you are hurting, they broke your heart or anything. And you're hurting for 1 week, I'm doing, I understand. 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, I will shout at you. I don't understand again. There is nothing. Oh, it's true. Because whatever is happening to you today, people have passed through the same thing. You accepted, thought Satan instead of telling with life. He broke my heart. He took away my peace. So he was your peace. So he was your peace all this while. Singles Connect is coming, you know. I will not spare anybody this year. So this guy was your peace all the while. He took away my peace. He took away my peace of mind. And since then, I've not been. Why can't you hold yourself? Let me tell this to you. I'm a pastor. I've seen people hurt.
I didn't get the point. And they get up and they move on. I've seen people, the same thing happens to them, they stay down. Why? Because these things happen, Satan throws them at you into your heart, and you don't stay there, and you are justifying the facts that you are hurting. Up go through on yourself. Who will it be and you will not hurt? Who will it be? You know, I just, you know. And sometimes you find yourself bitter against people because they did something. Whatever your friend has done to you, eh? Whatever your friend has done to you, other people have done worse to people. And they let go and they continue to be life. But all these things come. All I'm trying to tell you is analyze your thoughts. Anything that is not in agreement with the word of God is not your thought. Something else is taking in your head for you. Are you getting me? Anything, any thought that's not in agreement with the word of God. Fear, worry, bitterness, depression, rejection. Something else is thinking for you. Now, I'm talking about general things now, even every other thing. Have you ever found yourself hating someone? Sometimes for what the person did, sometimes for no reason. Has that happened to you? It's satanic. Satan is thinking in your head. You know, sometimes when things happen, I always try to change my opinion on any matter. In my mind, I don't always say my opinion. If you're very close to me, you should know I have a principle that I should always say your opinion. But my opinion on any matter, when anything happens, is what is the stand of the word of God on this? I force my mind, because I know whenever I begin to think only to the word of God, Satan is really the one doing that. I want to use as an example. It's a little digression, but I didn't want to talk about this all the while, but I'm going to talk about it today. This current issue of a pastor trying to curse someone. You know the issue, right? Trying to curse someone that was trying to insult his spiritual father and all. Now listen to me, friends. As I always warn, stay away from such matters. Now, you might think I'm being foolish until life will teach you that it is only a mad person that responds to everything he sees. Everything that happens is not for you, to comment. Stay away from it. But then, apart from that, when that thing happened, when I heard the story, I watched the video. I tried to tell myself, what is the stand of the word of God on this? First thing. Secondly, how would Jesus expect me to respond to this? Because if I begin to think, I've seen people come to Facebook to say, that man of God is this. Why will you insult someone? Why will you curse someone? Even though the other person was right, was wrong, must you also be wrong with him? Now, must you talk? That's the first thing. Who asked for your opinion? Sometimes you should learn how to mind your business and not give your attention to everything that applies. See, grow spiritually, make money. Stop giving your mouth to everything. You cannot see me do that. Now, what if the man of God is wrong? Who are you again? Who are you to be the one to tell him that he's wrong or not? And most times when people say, but he was sincerely wrong, let me assume he was wrong. Are you the one to correct him? You think he will listen to you? If you write that on Facebook, you think he read it? So who are you talking to? You are just exercising, you just take that as your problem. Because if you must be very wise, I'm saying this over time, learn to keep your mouth shut over some things. And Jesus, the Bible said, who are you sometimes to judge another man's servant? Let me say this to you. Sometimes, I'm saying this not for people here, people are following us. Sometimes you are not more knowledgeable than some of us. I learned to keep quiet. Get the point? Sometimes you are more knowledgeable than us. I ask myself some questions. When Satan begins to push you to comment on such issues in your heart, ask yourself, what will this change if I write this? What is going to change? Nothing. Everybody's going to say, yeah, yes. And let me say this to you. Never be found taking a position against the church. Never. Let me say, what if they are wrong? Now, you don't wash your dirt linen outside. Someone was trying to explain to me that what if man of God, I said, see, if your mother is a prostitute and you are so sure, and someone comes on Facebook and says your mother Mrs. Ginegini is a prostitute, will you share the post? Will you share it? You are
going to come and say, won't you mind your business? I'm going to arrest you. Even though you might come and tell your mom. You get the point? Everybody's talking about you. You're embarrassing us. Well, yeah, don't talk. You come on Facebook. You will not be found sharing the post and commenting and liking and saying, yes, prostitute, yes. If you understand the body of Christ, you should know that whenever Satan begins suggesting to your heart to take a position against the world, against the church, you already take the position against. It doesn't matter whether what they're saying is right or wrong. You know, whenever these things happen in Nigerian church, I'm just imagining Luke or Mark on Facebook typing, Peter was wrong. Peter was wrong. Peter did Paul. He's a hypocrite. I can imagine Timothy typing about Peter like that and saying, he will stand with the word. Let me say this thing to you. Stand with the word in your mind. Nobody asks for your opinion. I'm saying this because Satan will always use you. He wants to use you to spread, to break up. And sometimes in some of this, you know, the church today is not worse than the church in the past. Hope you know. In fact, the church is getting better. The only difference is that then there was no Facebook to talk about everything pastors are doing wrong. And the amazing thing is that the people who are saying this thing, now I have people insulting the man of God because he insulted someone else. So they were committing the same sin that accusing the man of committing. They were insulting him for insulting another person. I don't know if you get the point. They were insulting him because he insulted somebody. And you see the way God, Satan just pushes the thing. This guy that's saying that was insulted, I see a video today. You know what led to this whole issue? This guy called Bishop Oyedepo a white, bald-headed fowl. Who saw the video? I said that is a white. And then someone else comes to speak up. Now I'm not saying anybody is right or wrong. I'm just telling you a story. And then everybody just shout. Let me tell you, just sometimes keep your opinion to yourself. A white. Now, that in itself is very wrong. I was going to say, well, was it wrong for the other man of God to insult him? Well, it is not for me to say. Now, I'm not saying, we know what the word of God says, right? But I'm saying, it is not for me to say. What I mean is, I'm not saying, whether it's right or wrong, it's not for me to correct him. That's what I'm saying. Do you know, it is possible that Bishop Oyedepo has called him to say, I don't like what you said. I hope you know it's possible. I don't get the point. Because things happen. Just like me now, I make that kind of mistake. I know the person that will call me. Reverend, even chat me up. Don't try that rubbish again. I'll say yes. Now, the person that is meant to correct the man has corrected him. The way you are doing on Facebook, you are just gaining attention. You are just gaining likes, gathering likes, feeding on something that went wrong in the church to gain followers. You better watch it. And I'm saying, Satan comes with these thoughts and he's pushing you. Anytime you want to take an action, want to take it a certain way, ask yourself, who's making me do? What is sending these thoughts to my heart? Would it be God sending these thoughts to my heart? I'll stop it. I'll not say much about this. Now, let me see if I can close from here. These thoughts, I don't know why I digressed that, but I felt Holy Ghost needed me to say this. One of the things that I always say, if you're going to learn, follow a person and learn the word from him, sometimes learn his consecration too. What I'm telling you now, I learned it from Reverend. You can never hear him give an opinion on this kind of thing. You won't see it. Get the point? And I like that kind of sanity and decorum, and I picked it. You get the point? You can never, people have met him to grant interview. You will never grant any interview on such things. You won't. If at all, he will say something about it. He will talk to his people and correct them not to make, even if there was a mistake. I don't get the point. I said, don't make this kind of mistake. But come and give another public opinion on such things, you might be working for Satan. The reason many people don't believe the church again and believe in men of God again is not because the church is worse than it used to be. It's because we are showing them even what they're not seeing. There was a time, last 3 years or so, I unfollowed many believers on Facebook. many Christocentric worded believers, because there was a doctrinal argument and believers were fighting themselves, hitting themselves, attacking themselves. What? You don't know what? You're ignorant. I said, I like my sanity. Unfollow, 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 unfollow. The both parties, I followed this part and just stayed on my own. See, today's something with my friends, because you see this. You know, I used to say this to myself. I told the leaders, I'm saying it. I'm too young to start having enemies in ministry. When I grow, that time close to my grave, 80 something years, I'll be making enemies. Well, anyway, that's by the way. But then, watch your thoughts. Sometimes you feel these things. You feel fear. You feel worry. You feel like even doing these things. You feel like talking. You feel like feel bitterness. You feel hatred. You are not your feelings. This is one word I wanted to take on today. I am not what I feel. Now, let me see if I can tie this up. Now, I said there are many ways these thoughts come from. These thoughts come majorly from Satan and from your environment. But let me say this. They come from Satan through your environment. And when I mean environment, it can be anything. It can be your experiences. Some of us are thinking that we have satanic thoughts in our head. And these thoughts came by our experiences. You were raped. You were abused. You were abused. You were raped. You had childhood stuffs. You were molested at childhood. You were ill-treated as a child. You made mistakes. Your heart was broken. These things are real life experiences. And it happened to us. I tell you, sadly enough, 7 out of every 10 young girl I've met, young girl you know, was molested at childhood or something like that. I don't get the point. Even if you can't, you know what I'm saying. It's a spirit. It's very bad news. Some by men of God, some by their sisters, some from their by their brothers, self. Some, it's a select few, by their parents, biological parents. Some by their teachers, some get men, some their mates. These things, and some of you had these experiences. I didn't get the point. These things happen. Now, what happens is these things are there, and then they Satan will now leverage on them to send certain thoughts into your mind. So sometimes these thoughts that have grown in our hearts are caused by our experiences. Some people today, ladies, are scared of men because one man did one rubbish. Some other ladies hate men. Hatred against men. Okay, let me see. How many of you hated men before? You lady used to hate men sometime in your life. Let me see. Raise your hand. Raise it. I know you people. Raise it. Let me see. And hated men. And sometimes it's because of what one man did, or two men did, or 5 men did, or even 30 men. Satan now takes that stuff and begins to influence your heart with it. And like I always say, what he will let you know to see is that it's only 30 men or even 100 men that did this, and there are more than 4 billion men on earth. So he uses the activity of about 100 men to make you hate about 4 points. You get the point? Something billion men all over the earth. And he basically, before you know, I hate men. So these thoughts, they come from experiences, but they are not your thoughts. Some people are afraid today to even take a step, to take a step and make an impact in their time, or to even start a business, because they made some childhood mistakes. Do you know some people are still being haunted by the mistakes they made as children? You made some childhood mistakes. You try something and your dad said, you never get anything right. And it's stuck. You have to know. And now it has settled in your mind. You can either decide to keep thinking these thoughts that were given to you by your bad experiences, or you can decide to expel these thoughts and think your thoughts. I mean God's thoughts. Now, let me close. These thoughts, even though they came from experiences, are not of God. I said something in my notes. I said everyone has been through stuffs. You should choose which one of them to receive. You should choose to relieve your mind of these thoughts. Everyone has been through stuffs. Everyone has had negative experiences. Some they can tell you, Some they can never tell you. Some people today, their issue, they have trust issues. Why? Because somebody disappointed them or someone betrayed them. And if you allow trust issues, you don't know that whenever you're feeling I don't trust anybody, it's not in agreement with the word of God. I didn't get the point. God has not given us the spirit of suspicion. If anything we have discernment. We can discern things. We don't suspect. But then you find yourself, you don't trust people. You don't trust even the man you're going to marry. You've planned, you will not trust him. I was talking about feminism last week. Many people have allowed that demonic thought enter them. Of course, I understand there are some feminists. It depends on what you mean by feminism. So feminism to them means a woman can be anything she wants to be. If that's what feminism means, then I'm a feminist. You get the point? If what feminism means is a woman can be anything, she can be a bishop, she can be a doctor, she can be a president, then I'm a feminist. But if what feminism means to you is that you enter your husband's house and start fighting with him as per who will take care of children, who will breastfeed baby, you are against the word of God. I'm telling you these things. If some women can share their mammary gland with their men, that they can be sending breastfeeding babies, they will do it. You see, sometimes these demonic thoughts take hold of your mind. I'm not going to let any man step on me or in my marriage. If he tries rubbish, I'm done. That demonic thoughts enter because of your experiences. But you don't realize that there are people who are having wonderful marriages today, and they've had the same experiences you had. They didn't just allow it to stay. Those thoughts that form their foundation in your heart, majority of them are not your thoughts. They are thoughts of Satan sent to you by your experiences, sent to you by different ways. You can decide to think them or to expel them. Say me, say my thoughts. Oh, come on, say my thoughts are God's thoughts. So whenever you sense any thoughts that is not in agreement with the word of God, just know you don't need to pray again. This thing is not of God. It is Satan thinking in my head now. Next week, I'll start showing you how to deal with these thoughts when they come. When they come. When they come. I don't know. The experiences might have been bad. Of course, we all had them. Maybe that's what has made a fearful person. Some people, I just sense in my heart to talk about inferiority. Some people are so inferior that they feel so inferior that they cannot even stand and talk to people. Let me say this to you. I said, don't fear anybody. You get the point? Respect all men, honor people, but that's not fear. That's not fear. I don't insult people. I don't disrespect people. It's not because I'm scared of them. I can talk to anybody I want to talk to, how I want to talk to you. I'll just control myself not to talk to you against how the word of God says. I didn't get the point. But I can talk to you. Paul will stand before Agrippa and be talking and preaching to him. That's audacity. Hallelujah. That's boldness. That's what about what the King James will give, the Greek will give us, unfettered outspokenness. It's parousia in the Greek. You stand and you are facing, you don't live your life. Some people are just so scared, inferiority everywhere. That's why you can't even preach the word of God. Hallelujah. That's why you see, when in this place, I expect that you honor me, you respect me, but you don't come to approach me and you are fidgeting. Why are you fidgeting? Come and walk well. Walk well. I don't get the point. That is honor, that is respect. But you don't come and you're just so scared, sir. I can't behold the glory of your presence. Who are you talking to again? And sometimes this fear of men is from your experience. And from experiences when you were young. Maybe because when you were young, a particular teacher in your nursery school beat you and beat you. I'm telling you the real life story. Beat you and intimidated you until you now shut up your mouth. And some of you say, now you've not been able to open that mouth. You have to know that that feeling of inferiority is not who you are. You are not a human feeling. You are not your feeling. You are a human being. And in your being, you are not inferior. Oh, the Bible said, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of boldness. So have boldness. Oh, come on, so have boldness. And so those thoughts come. So you have to begin to ask questions like, who is thinking in my head? These experiences have come You are depressed because things did not work the way you planned. This is an experience. I'm not denying your experience. I'm saying you are not your experience. I'm not denying your experience. I'm not denying the fact that it happened.
We are not those experiences.
Let me close by saying, stop exposing yourself or your mind. One of the ways I will help you,
I'll talk about this more next week.
One of the things that will help you keep your mind sane from all these demonic thoughts is that you should stop exposing your mind to them. I give you an example. You had a bad experience when you were growing up. One of the things that will help you is stop talking about those experiences. I'll address this further later. Because when you begin to talk about things, you are giving life to those things. I don't get the point. A guy broke your heart, things went wrong. That's what you keep talking about. That man, my childhood was bad. That my mom, you are talking. The more you are talking about it, you are keeping the experience alive. It's dominating your mind. Remember,
I'm bringing it out of myself. This somebody is next week, but let me just talk about it.
Remember, what gets to your mind is your ear, right? As you are talking about those things, you are hearing them too. I keep saying this all the time. So you stop exposing yourself to those things.
Stop talking about them.
Stop staying around things that will make you remember those things, that will promote those experiences.
More of this next week.
Stop staying. That's why if you feel depressed and you want to break out of it, stop reading depressing things. Sometimes a guy breaks your heart and you start playing songs of heartbreak. Now, how do you want to move on? Do you know what I'm talking about? A guy broke your heart, you are hurting. When I start playing songs of someone that they broke their heart,
what are those songs?
What do you sing? I say, never mind, I'll find. You're just you think it. You see, it just makes me feel better. It's a lie. It's destroying you. Because I'm just feeling, what do you do when you're singing? Are you playing it and you're rejoicing? Woo! You're playing it and you're just thinking, I wish nothing. You're lying to yourself. I don't know that. Is it Westlife or so? What's that song again? You begin to expose your mind to those things. You're never going to heal from them. You are stamping them in your heart.
I'll say this next week better.
One of the ways, I said you cannot stop something from flying over your head. One of the ways things stay in your mind is by repetition.
I'll talk about this next week.
Once you keep exposing your mind to them, depression, You keep depressed. You keep thinking about it. You keep reading books about it. You keep talking. You are just exposing your mind to it. I talked about fear today. Many people are so afraid because a lot of things has happened in their life. What are they doing now? They keep thinking and exposing their mind to that. That's why sometimes if you're going to travel to the village and you're already scared of accident or poison, whatever, there are some things you should keep away from you. Our address is further. You keep away things like African magic. I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm just telling you. You keep it around you. You keep watching in that period. You are fueling your fear.
I didn't get the point. You're fueling your fear. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 2. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can begin to replace those thoughts with the word of God.
So whenever I sense that a thought is not my thought, whenever I know that it's Satan that is sending thoughts to my head, I will not give that attention. I will not expose myself to them. I will not talk about them. I will expel those thoughts. He says, sir, how do I do that? Be here next Thursday. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'm going to take charge of my mind and capture it because he has given me a sound mind. I have the ability not to let Satan sit in my head and mess up. I won't let him sit in my head as fear, as worry, as envy, as depression, as rejection. I'm not going to let him sit in my head and run riot. going to keep him off. Oh, you used to think, I'm just feeling afraid. No believer is 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 afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I cannot be scared. I don't know about you. Hey, Abaletosh. And it was a man who was preaching. I was in Archbishop Oso was preaching and called Bishop Oedeko. And was trying to give an example, was teaching on fear. And gave was trying to Oedeko. He said, just act like you're afraid. And the guy was standing. He said, in case you're afraid now. He said, act like you're afraid. He said, sir, I've forgotten how to be afraid. I don't even know how to act. How do you act afraid? You must come to a point where you know that whatever God did not give me, I'm not going to have it. God did not give me the spirit of fear. I'm not going to say, let fear stay in here. God did not give me worry. I won't let worry stay. God did not give me bitterness. He didn't give me depression. I'm not going to stay depressed. Are you following me? He didn't give me rejection. I'm not going to stay rejected. I'm not going to feel inferior. Hallelujah. Why can I even be inferior? I stand before God. I talk with God. You don't believe in me? God believes in me. I said, there's no place for inferiority anywhere. I'm going to stay with the word of God. So I don't respond to what I feel. Hallelujah. I respond to who I am. And so, when we talk about the raging warfare, the battle for your mind is a fight between who you are and what you feel. Who you are is trying to take over your mind and make you think like who you truly are. What you feel and your experiences and Satan are trying to take over your mind and make you think like who you are not. Whatever you hand over your mind, we control and determine the course of your life. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Shidala Basodi. My thoughts. Hey. I take charge of my thoughts. There's no fear in here. No worry in here. So, thoughts of defeat are not your thoughts. I can go on and on. But whenever you sense anything, is this part of the word of God? Just know it is Satan sending those thoughts. The Bible told us, I didn't show that scripture, but I plan on showing it next week. The Bible told us that when Judas was in that table with Jesus, you know, Jesus gave him that bread. The Bible says Satan entered him. How do you think Satan entered him? But did Satan jumped into him? No! Satan invaded his thoughts and put it inside and said, you can't kill this man. Judas could have refused. You know, Satan does not have the ability to drag you to do what you don't want to do. Hope you know. He does have the ability. He just throws things at your thoughts and you accept or reject by your heart. So he entered Judas. And every time Satan wants to enter you, he say, how? He's not possessing you, no. I'm thinking about what's enter your mind. He sends fear, he sends worry, he sends bitterness, he sends rejection, he sends lack, he sends all those feelings, all those things. He wants to do those things, but he sends them to have you a kabara. Just got it very clearly. He just sends those things to have you sign them. He wants to bring lack, but he wants you to approve of it before he brings it. So how will he do? He will send it as fear. What if you become poor? And I say it's true. You are signing it. You are approving it. No, I'm not going to approve what Satan wants. You get the point? He's seeking your opinion. Well, I want you to kill yourself. You are much of a trouble for me in this life. I want you to hang yourself. I've seen your future. I've heard the words that have been spoken to you. I want you to kill yourself. But then, how is he going to do that? We're going to sense fear of death. What if you die? What if you don't live up to 30 years? Oh, oh God. What if you don't live up to 30 years? And how does he do that? He tells you, at least you are sick. And then he brings a sickness around you. And then you go to the hospital. And doctor says, this is a terminal illness. Satan is trying to take over your mind. You need to learn to look at the doctor and say, there's nothing terminal about this. You get the point? Before the anointing of our Lord Jesus Christ, sickness is sickness. Oh, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Hey, this sickness was part of all sins that Jesus healed. So it doesn't matter how I feel. My feeling is not who I am. Hallelujah. So I mount God over my mind. So I'm in charge of my mind. Talk to the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Come on, let me hear you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.